welcome to JFG tonight. Fascinating events happening on Twitter. It's unfortunately for tonight, we're going to review the news as we usually do, but what it means is also that this is episode 243 of the What Happens When a Scientist Doesn't Want to Consult a Theory Within His Field? What happens when a scientist decides this guy is a Nazi or his supporters are Nazis, therefore I'm not reading his book? I'm currently setting up the Entropy page. There it is, set up. And therefore, I mean, as long as Brett doesn't want to read The Revolutionary Phenotype and talk about science with me, I said what was my strategy back in the days when I accused him of plagiarism, and I still stand by this accusation. I said I'm going to grind the guy until he either reads The Revolutionary Phenotype or dies. And if he dies without reading it, I'm going to take a picture of myself beside his tomb in Oregon doing this. I mean, new guy says, wait, did I just get called a Nazi? No, I mean, there's improvement in the behavior of Brett Weinstein today, but it's still it's still us losing our fucking time, losing the time of everyone on Earth, discussing things that don't matter. I don't care who Brett voted for. I'm just going to sustain the discussion about leftist politics because any sort of access to Brett, I'm going to take it. You know, I'm going to try to establish a relationship, try to break the ice, try to show my name beside his as often as possible so that perhaps in 5 years he can say, well, you know what, at this point I'm so associated with this guy, reading his book won't further tarnish my reputation. Holy shit, it should be easier to get someone to consult a theory within his own field of expertise, but it's not. But I want you to capture the complexity of this conversation I had with Brett. There are things in there I'm sure no one would see if I wasn't to point it out. But there is veiled bribery. There is exactly the reason why, and Stephen Robinson, I see that you're in the chat. One day, Stephen Robinson asked me, JF, here, Brett Weinstein is favoring a private conversation over a public one with Elon Musk. Do you agree with this? And I said, no, I don't agree with private discussions. I will engage in a private discussion if you catch me in private and you want to talk to me in private. But I hate private discussions because they don't expose the full dirtiness of the fake cigar lounge type of mainstream media crap that is existing in this nation and that is transferring to the internet. Because what Brett Weinstein told me publicly, he had to veil it pretty well, but it's still there. And I want to show it to you because I want you to understand what kind of pressure those alliances lead to. It leads to a countering of the search for truth. When people are in the background and they can make offers to each other and it's like, hey, you know, if you withdraw your position on this, maybe I could support you on that. That is dirty stuff that you don't get to see. And my goal in life in making everything public about my intellectual progression and my thoughts is precisely to expose this kind of darkness dealings. New guy says, yes, truth dies in darkness. Let's get started because, of course, this is so unimportant. It's like, if it wasn't of the piece at the end that is absolutely beautiful, we would be losing our time for the next 30 minutes because it's not important. It's about the Democrat Party. I don't care. I don't give a fuck about the Democrat Party. I don't give a fuck about Joe Biden. I don't give a fuck if Brett Weinstein has a secret statue of Joe Biden in his fucking room. But I give a fuck about truth, you know? And to me, that had been my criticism of Brett Weinstein back in 2020. My criticism of him went as follows: this whole unity party thing was very deceptive. It was drawing people to a middle option that truly didn't exist. Okay, so it was like rightly called by YouTube as a kind of fake electoral misdirection, electoral process that was effectively making people root for people who couldn't win. Now, of course, the people of the multi-democratic middle and the richness of the world, yeah, DK Shadow says it was a honeypot. It was a honeypot, and the bees are still stuck in the honey, let me tell you. They're thinking about redoing it for 2024. But anyways, leaving that aside, my criticism then was not to say, Brett Weinstein, you are wrong to vote for Joe Biden. My criticism was, Brett Weinstein, your loose centrism that you're doing and this non-positioning and this third-party candidate type of thing and this unity party 2020 that doesn't really exist, so it's not a party, so you can't vote for it, and this whole meddling with the Dan Crenshaws of this world and this whole thing that you tried to do parallel to politics rather than vote for Trump sucks. That was my position in 2020. I was under no illusion that Brett Weinstein was voting for Joe Biden. Brett Weinstein has been consistently throughout the 2020 election. He had been saying the two options are bad. Trump is bad. Biden is bad. But it's always been my impression that Trump is bad, Biden is bad, the middle is best, we have to have a middle. It was always my impression that Biden was slightly preferred by Brett. And I was right. I was right on this. And therefore, my criticism of him is not so much, Brett, you should vote for Joe Biden or you shouldn't vote for Joe Biden. Because I knew that Brett, the last thing I knew about Brett's voting behavior in 2020 was that he had said publicly, I'm not revealing for who I'm voting. So that was the last thing I knew. And I was under no delusion that, oh, he must be secretly voting for Joe Biden. I didn't believe this at all. I knew that there was a big chance that he had written a third candidate in. You know, you can write in any name. Very big chance that he would have perhaps dismissed his vote. You can do that too. Or there was a chance he might have voted for Joe Biden or a chance he might have voted for Trump. So in this context, and you guys know if you've been watching my content since 2020, that was my position on Brett. You should have balls. You should recognize the danger of Joe Biden. And you should say, you know what? I'm going to forgo my hate for Trump. Same thing with Sam Harris. I'm going to forgo this derangement I have around Trump. And I'm going to recognize that the threat of far leftism is much more salient to the world today. And it's much, much more destructive of civilization than Trump. And I'm going to vote for Trump. That is what I stated publicly. It's on the record. And those of you who keep archives of my 2020 streams, I'm sure on BitChute it's out there. Go Away says, JF, Brett prefers Biden over Trump because he once heard from a guy in a cigar lounge that there was a neo-Nazi that supported Trump. Well, you don't even have to go in the cigar lounge to hear this one, right? It's all over the leftist media, these comparison between Trump and Hitler. So that is the mindset in which I do this tweet yesterday. And why do I do this tweet? Because Brett doesn't want to talk science with me. I would much rather defend my scientific theory of the emergence of life, of memes, of replicators, the revolutionary phenotype, against a solid attack by Brett, or I would like to rejoice in a solid support by Brett. But no, the scientific discussion is on the side, and very soon later, you'll see why. You'll see why. It's interesting. Last time, the explanation we had is there's Nazis out there, so I can't discuss with him. be careful, there's Nazis out there. I don't know that he's a white nationalist, but I know that he has some supporters that follow him on Twitter that talk about Jews on their Twitter. That's the last update on this. Now, I was saying this, and yet, who did you vote for 3 years ago, Brett Weinstein? Because he was saying Joe Biden has to go. It's an urgent matter of national security. If the Democratic Party can't see that, then it has to go too. And I was like, beautiful. This is a nice way to interface with Brett. I have kind of a reminder in my Google Calendar. Tweet about Brett at least once every 3 days. I'm an asshole. So I'm like, this is my perfect tweet. This is my perfect tweet for my quota this week. You know, Brett Weinstein is realizing the size, the amplitude of the threat that Biden is actually willing to say that the Democratic Party as a whole must go. That must be the time at which I can inject my 2020 talking points toward him by saying, Brett, who you vote for causes this democratic, greed over power and dirty dealings and warmongering. And notice my point. I'm not saying you voted for Joe Biden. I'm saying who you vote for and who you root for and the way you behave on the public space by doing the centrism, radical centrism, is causing a part of this issue. If you were to use your maximum leverage against the Bidens of this world, let's call it the Democrat establishment, your maximum leverage would have been to vote for Trump. That's been my point in 2020. And I'm like, let's inject it in Twitter. The chances that Brett Weinstein responds to me are 1 in 1,000,000. Let's go. I'm willing to die on that hill. So I say, and yet, who did you vote for 3 years ago? And instead of acknowledging the complexity of my thought, instead of acknowledging the nuances and perhaps, you know, considering on the side of Brett, the fact that he may not know everything about me, that if he doesn't watch my show on an everyday basis for years, he may not capture the whole sense of my "and yet." The whole sense of my "and yet" is not to say, Brett, you voted for Joe Biden. It's to say, Brett, you kind of rooted for Joe Biden. And whoever you voted for, I have no clue, but it's probably not Trump. And you probably didn't use your full leverage against Joe Biden precisely because you refused to vote for Trump. Now, I know it's a lot of info to put in an "and yet," but I mean, I'm going to do it. It's not like my thoughts aren't available in the public space for everyone to consult in a transparent fucking manner. New guy says, Brett is blameless, Jeff. That's his whole modus operandi. We're going to get to this very soon. It's exciting, new guy, because Brett is sending an olive branch that I refuse. I will cut it out. I refuse this olive branch, but it has all to do with blamelessness. We're going to get to this. So Brett Weinstein, instead of acknowledging the complexity of my being and, you know, acknowledging my existence as a complex being who may mean something that he doesn't fully understand, he says, you think I voted for Biden? Now he puts an interrogation mark. That's a politeness that I respect and I appreciate. I appreciate. So he asks me, so I answer, I'd like to know who you voted for. In other words, my answer to him is to say, I have an interrogation mark at the end of my sentence. Who did you vote for 3 years ago? On the autism scale, I'm at 250 out of 10. That's the level of autism I am. When I use an interrogation mark, I mean it! Okay, when I use an interrogation mark, it's a question. And when you use an interrogation mark, I will trust it as a question. So I have answered your question. I would like to know who you voted for. In other words, I'm not trying to imply that you voted for Joe Biden. I'm trying to imply there's no autism test. Vive le Québec libre. The 250 is an estimation. There's no autism test. So I'm like, no, I don't want to imply that you voted for Joe Biden. I want to imply that the current situation of the Democrat Party is partly caused by people like you who didn't vote for Trump. If you want to slam the Democrat Party, the best way you can do it in 2020 is vote for Trump. Now, sure, we could engage on the whole, well, this leads to binary politics. And I'm willing to have that debate, but like in 1,000 years, maybe. There's so much more important to talk about. It's like, yeah, we can have a debate on the nature of binary politics and whether it's not fascinating, let me tell you, but we can have it if you'd like. And Brett Weinstein kind of shriveled by my asking him. I think, by the way, it's fair for public personalities to be asked their private political opinion. I don't think it's a violation of your privacy. I don't think it's impolite. I don't think it's anything. I think it should go. I think it should be expected of everyone in the public space, like, to reveal a lot about them. Because when someone tells me, Jeff, I'd like you to get to vote there or there, I would like to know where it comes from. I'd like to know the genetics of the person, whether they're Jewish. I'd like to know whether they're Christians. I've been very open about all of this. I'm a descendant of Christians. I come at politics with my own perspective, and you should be informed about it. But Brett Weinstein feels the need to specify, not that it's anyone's business, but I voted for Tulsi. So people were noting that Tulsi was not a candidate. She had withdrawn as a candidate by the time Oregon got to vote. Therefore, he didn't vote for her as she was soliciting a candidacy. What that would mean is that he has written in. You know how you can... It's basically a way to... Effectively, it's a way to cancel your vote in America. He has written in a candidate. You know, some people were writing in Kanye West. Brett Weinstein has written in Tulsi Gabbard. Like a relatively high number of Oregonites, because as Tulsi Gabbard had given up her campaign, there were people in the Democrat Party who revolted and said, we're still going to vote for you, even if you withdraw your candidacy. So that's the whole story. And then I make, finally, my point which I wanted to make from the beginning. And I say, I believe the Democratic Party might have been better improved by a vote for Trump. This is what I've been saying since 2020. I've been saying to the leftist, if you don't like the direction that your Democrat Party is taking, slam them. Vote for their enemy. You know, when Richard Spencer was disappointed by Trump, he started supporting Biden. And I can respect the strategic pragmatism here. And my point to all the centrists who kind of vote Democrat or who don't vote Trump, and the Sam Harris of this world who can't bring themselves to vote for Trump, but who complain about the wokeness of far leftism, my message to all of them has always been, have you considered using your leverage to punish the people who most hurt your cause? And those are the people on your side of politics right now. I've been waiting since 2020 to make this point. Not that I care about this point, but I have to respect my quotas of engagement. My Google Calendar says engage with Brett Weinstein. So I did it. Brett answers to this. And this is where the veiled bribery appears. I want you to fully measure what is being said in this fucking tweet. This is unbelievable. The first thing he says is, you're welcome to hold that belief. So let's put this one on the side. I have my Oregon license to think. I'm reassured I can hold a belief in Oregon. I have been blessed by Brett. But this is where it gets interesting. I'm waiting for the part where you acknowledge that your model of me is an error yet again. Short of that, there's nothing to talk about. This is super interesting, Brett. Is that what happens in your private discussions with Elon Musk? This is super interesting. Do you guys see it? Brett is referring to something here. I want to lay it out for you. The yet again. Let's talk about yet again. So I would be wrong yet again, according to Brett. So I would be wrong today, and I would be wrong another time. I would be wrong about my model of him. I would have committed error in estimating what Brett did and what he does. He's obviously referencing to my accusations of him having committed plagiarism against a man named Pathogenetics on Twitter, who, since my accusations came out, was intimidated away from the internet by IRL harassment and has disappeared from the internet. Pathogenetics back then had been making calculations about the non-synonymous mutation ratio happening in the genome of Omicron and had concluded that there was very bizarre behavior. The numbers were taken, the numbers that he had calculated manually, and I confirmed with him that he had made these calculations manually, and he had published on Twitter, were taken and cited by Brett Weinstein on his show without referencing him, without saying this comes from Pathogenetics. And I, therefore, I had said that this is plagiarism. I would like to get some explanation from Brett. I would like him to be encouraged to cite where the data comes from. So when he says, I'm wrong about him yet again, he's suggesting that I have committed two errors about him that I should apologize for. Now, here's the bribery. Here's the olive branch. Here's the, maybe I have a reward for you if you apologize, JF. Let me shake that strawberry in your face, JF. Aren't you hungry right now? Short of that, there's nothing to talk about. Nothing to talk about? Nothing to talk about? Brett Weinstein is trying to whistle me in fucking the public space that I should apologize for and say I was wrong for accusing him of plagiarism, and then apologize and say I was wrong for today's suggestion that he may have voted for Joe Biden. And that if I do so, maybe there's a chance we can discuss science. Brett, you don't know who I am. Oh, man. A veiled bribery offer on the public space, on Twitter, to Papa JF, the radical artist. I can't help be fascinated at the human mind. Can you imagine how much more clear it would be if it was a private conversation? that he was convinced would remain private. Listen, Brett, I haven't committed an error today. You have perceived an error in my end yet. My end yet was referring to something else than you thought it was. I don't have the model of you that you think I have. By the way, I'm such an artist, I don't even have a model of you. It's like you have no idea what it is to be in a mind like mine. I know you're kind of an intellectual, but probably not as autistic as me. You're probably more on the dyslexic side of figuring out with symbols the world. I figure out the world with factual descriptions of observable behavior. I'm so radical about it, you have no idea. I've never encountered someone like me. I don't have a concept of your mind. I don't have a model. I'm waiting for the part where you acknowledge that your model of me is in error yet again. I don't have models of anyone. That's just how radical it is, Brett. And so I answered to him, what model do you think I hold of you? And he didn't answer this one, but it got interesting because some people jumped into the conversation. DK Shadow says word cell versus hyperautism. It is interesting because this kind of thing, if I don't point it out, if I don't make a show about it tonight, no one would see it. It was way too hidden. But this is what's happening here. Brett is sharing his emotional hurt from having been accused of plagiarism by me. Brett, I'm not going to give up an accusation that is still founded in fact, that has not been countered. If you've been spending so many months thinking about it, not answering, not, and you come and you bring it up toward me today, I think the facts are making it into Brett's brain. I think I have good leverage. I'm going to let it continue. Because I'm not the one who brought it up today. You are. So you think about it. It's on your mind. You want me. You are looking. Let's go back to it. You are looking for me acknowledging that I am wrong about you yet again. And you are saying that there is no discussion between us short of that. Oh, man. I never knew that we would expose so much stuff by just being that autistic. That is, to me, the great realization of the internet. When you have people who stubbornly pursue the smallest of chips of nothingness, you end up having beauty emerging from it. And Fadam is on the Discord, and he says, please acknowledge that there were some errors in some degree relating to the topic, not that you were wrong in essence or summation. This is what Brett is saying. Fascinating. Fascinating. When you want someone else to acknowledge it for you, it means you have no defense. It means the only thing that could truly pull Brett out of the sewer that he has put himself in is me. Saying on the public space, I withdraw my accusation. Oh. Steven Robinson says, this show could be titled The Rebuking of Brett Weinstein. I mean, we'll get to very interesting stuff. Blanket says, happy Elon, let JF back on because we wouldn't get today's episode. Exactly. T.S. Apostola says, you're living rent-free in his head. Go away says, until JF recognizes that his mental model of me as a troll is wrong, there's nothing else for me to post in the regular chat. Are you serious, Goway? Are you telling us? Are you telling us that you're going to stop trolling the regular chat if I don't do something? Because I'm very interested in this. Mark D says, Brett, if I were you, I would not eat any chili that JF gives you. And Steven Robinson says, Brett is desperate for JF to realize he was wrong. Not going to happen. I'm certain. I'm so easy to convince. Just give me a piece of evidence. Say, hey, JF, these numbers, Pathogenetics had said it, but someone else here had said it also. So I was referring to that someone else. I would be happy, but you know why? You know why Brett doesn't do that? First, because I suspect there's no someone else. Second, because I suspect that even his plagiarism of Pathogenetics may have been through my retweet. And so basically, my initial statement and my second statement were accurate about his plagiarism. But, and if it is the case that he didn't plagiarize Pathogenetics, he plagiarized someone else who plagiarized Pathogenetics. That is my conclusion. So, I mean, I'm standing on my leverage and I'm like, is Papa JF going to abandon leverage? Well, let's think about it. Papa JF has been engaging in the search. You know, when's the first time I talked about you publicly, Brett? It's when that day on Evergreen. You hadn't been on Fox News. You hadn't been on anything. And I made a whole show about the social media video that emerged from Evergreen the day it happened. And I knew you from before. I knew you from your articles about the evolutionary dynamics of morality, of human morality and politics. And I was super respectful of what you were doing back then. But here we are, 8 years later. What was it? Was it in 2015? Maybe 2017? I don't know. But here we are, about 7 years, 8 years later. And it's like we're losing so much time rather than engage on the next evolution of the theory of mimetics and replicators, embedded replicator theory. Just standing in your library because I sent you manually the top version of my book, which is the hardcover. A theory that you have been speaking about on the public space, that you have been requesting. You have been saying biology doesn't advance until someone solves the mimetics problem. And you have the solution to it in your own personal house, library. And here we are discussing about Tulsi and who I voted for. James says on the Discord, at this point, I think it is more likely JF and Brett discuss the weather before TRP. You want to do another round of it, Brett? You want to talk about the weather? Oregon versus North Pole. What's best for tomato plants? John Drake says he can't sidestep TRP forever. I mean, at this point, I've accepted that it could happen, and I really don't care about it. Because the fact is, when Brett will be dead, I'll be halfway through my life. So to me, there's another generation of scientists that I can have fun with, that I can tickle under the toes. We can do this as long as you guys want. It's like, I'm sitting here, I have my bitcoins, I don't give a shit, I'll speak freely until the end of time. I'm testing the system about whether this system that claims to be opened to new ways of thinking can even find and accept a scientific theory that is delivered to them on a silver platter. By the way, if you'd like to support the show, use the dollar button under the Odyssey chat. Odyssey super chats are my favorite way to receive support for the show. Alternatively, feel free to use Entropy. The link to Entropy is in the description below. If you'd like to send Odyssey super chats, make sure you add a payment method in your account before doing so. So someone got into the conversation, and I find this amazing because I look at the account of this guy. The guy is named Pro NJP Anon. NJP being the National Justice Party. And he's an Anon. And I look at his Twitter feed, and this guy is the kind of guy who Brett Weinstein would have said he's one of the Nazi followers of JF. I'm not saying he's a Nazi, but he is very insistent on the Jewish question. So here we are. He gets into the conversation. He says, "You did support Biden over Trump, I remember." Brett Weinstein says, and there's layers of complexity in that tweet. We'll look at it, but here's what he says. "But of course, you can't point to any actual instance of my doing that. So we are back to some alternate universe where alternate me is busy doing things that real me would never do. And then real me is supposed to offer a defense. Don't you guys ever get tired of this?" You guys, the Nazis. Don't you ever get tired of this? You've been doing it since 1930. Fucking Nazis. This is what Brett is saying. A humanitarian opened a thinker of the world that sees people as not being groups wouldn't say "you guys" here. He's using "you guys," and he's talking to one person, which is exactly the kind of person he's previously alluded to were Nazis. That is, my followers who have Jewish-related subjects on their Twitter account. Don't you guys ever get tired of this? Of making false statements about me? Well, I kept a degree of uncertainty here about this tweet right here. "You did support Biden over Trump." And I was like, it does seem to me that at no point in the 2020 election, Brett Weinstein has said, "You should vote for Biden. Biden is the best. I love Biden." That was beside the track to me. And that's not what Northwest Minority is saying. To me, it was clear, though, in my memory from not watching everything from Brett, but watching maybe 50% of Brett's content back in those days. It was clear from my memory that Brett was kind of trending toward Biden. Like, Biden was slightly preferable. And so the statement, "You did support Biden over Trump, I remember," here Brett Weinstein is seemingly denying it, seemingly saying it's false. He says, "You can't point to any actual instance of my doing that. So we are back to some alternate universe where alternate me is busy doing..." I mean, this is a strong claim. That you are deluded. I cannot possibly have done this. Real me would never do this. And Northwest Minority was not super convincing because he doesn't remember where he got this impression. He says, "This response is a defense, and no, I did not save any clips from 3 years ago. I just remember that though you did not like either, one, you preferred Biden over Trump. This was very clear after he won the election. No, I do not keep tabs on you. I just see you, Brett." And so I was like, okay. we need to determine, is Brett, was Brett indicative of a preference of Biden over Trump back in those days? It was my impression that he was. And I found a couple of tweets that you can interpret one way or the other. You can interpret them as supportive of the NGP claim. Here he says, Biden is doing better at sticking it out than I thought he would. I'll give him that. Now, this could be interpreted as political commentary where he's not really rooting for Biden, but he's just objectively evaluating the performance of Biden. Okay, I will grant this possible defense. Here he says, I believe it was in response to Sam Harris, but Sam Harris has deleted his account. He says, I don't think this is right. I do think we have an obligation to make eye contact with the pervasive corruption of the duopoly, and that blinding hatred of Trump or anyone else is counterproductive. But I don't fault anyone for supporting or rooting for Biden. I get it. This may be interpreted as a statement of empathy toward the people who like Biden. You may argue it's not a rooting for Biden. It's just, I have my fellow Biden voters and I understand them. I'm not like them, but I understand them. Okay, there's a defense for this. So it's not in and of itself, it doesn't stand as a statement of preference of Biden over Trump. But then I found this video, digging and digging. I found this video where I think that it's pretty clear that Brett Weinstein expresses very clearly in this segment that he prefers Biden over Trump.
Choice between them. I honestly don't know which outcome I fear more, right? I know that Trump nominally is farther from the values that I think are most important, but I don't know that a Trump presidency is more dangerous than a Biden presidency in light of what Biden is playing with in terms.
So here, Brett is getting into his usual discourse, which is the two options are bad, but he's saying that Biden's values are closer to his than Trump. I will repeat it so you get a chance to fully re-listen to it, to make your own judgment.
...or the other. And a small number of people see two disasters and an uncertain choice between them. I honestly don't know which outcome I fear more, right? I know that Trump nominally is farther from the values that I think are most important, but I don't...
Trump nominally is further than the values that I think are important. So basically, he is saying, between the two, although I consider them two dangers, Trump is further away from me. What does that make Biden? That makes Biden closer from him. That is a statement of support. And let's go back to the claim by the original NJP enjoyer. You did support Biden over Trump, I remember. To me, this statement qualifies as sufficiently responsive for NJP's claim, NJP Anon's claim, to be supported. And certainly for Brett Weinstein to say, I could never do this, you can never find an instance of me doing it. Well, I found an instance. I found an instance in 10 minutes. Digging through your archive. I found an instance. So I said about Brett, with Brett Weinstein's non-responses, loose allusions to other people's belief. You know, remember how he said that I had a model of him? I don't have a model of you, Brett. And incomplete denials. Discussion can be quite painful. For instance, Harry would appear to deny pro-NJP's Anon's claim that he previously made statements for Biden over Trump, yet we find at 3011 here that he states, I honestly don't know which outcome I fear more. I know that Trump nominally is farther from the values that I think are most important. It would appear fair to interpret Brett's position as Biden being slightly preferable to Trump in front of such a statement. So there it is, the evidence of an actual instance that he requested about himself. Because let us remind ourselves of Brett's initial position. But of course, you can't point to any actual instance of my doing that. So we are back to some alternate universe where alternate me is busy doing things that real me would never do. And then real me is supposed to offer a defense. Don't you guys ever get tired of this? I don't get tired, Brett. I don't get tired because when you scratch and you find a little thread that seems loose, as it is said in what's the name of the series? I forget it. It's not Westworld. It's the Peripheral. The teleseries, The Peripheral. There's an investigator who explains when you find a little thread and you start pulling, it's impressive the truths that end up falling out, the truths that you end up discovering behind the structure that you couldn't have doubted were supported by this little loose thread. All of this to say, Brett, we can do this for 2 decades still, if you'd like. Or we can have a scientific discussion. My invitation, we can do it on your show, mine, we can do it on space. We can do it chilling with Elon Musk, drinking whiskey, if you'd like. Whatever you like. I would love to talk to you about the theory of phenotypic revolution. I think it's a fascinating theory that wraps biology in a beautiful way that you have called for, that you have said we need something like that, and I discovered it. I'd like to talk to you about it. I find these discussions that we're having on plagiarism, olive branches, veiled bribery. Would you do a little bit of this and I'll do a little bit of that? I didn't never said this. Well, you kind of did. Makes me want to vomit. Fucking crap. Why are we losing everyone's time? You are in front of, like, eternity. Brett will have been in contact with the theory of phenotypic revolution when he dies, or he won't. That's eternity. That's all that matters, whether you will have been in contact with this theory. And no, I won't withdraw my accusations unless you give me a good reason for it. Could come in the form of an explanation. It could come in the form of, oops, I made an error. Here's my attribution of him. But no, I won't give up my accusations of you just because you kind of allude to a possibility of a conversation. You don't know what kind of maniac I am, Brett. I'm fucking principled, like to the point of self-destruction. You have no clue. Linux Foo says, yeah, it's lame. Everyone should just get drunk and have a pool party. Yeah, let's have a fire. What was this discussion? These firewood discussion? I have a wood stove, if you'd like. We can have a discussion in front of the wood stove. I can put the webcam and I can be with a whiskey just beside the wood stove. If that helps, I will do it. Mark D says, JF, at this point, I think any real explanation would be a bad one. He did cheat. I think he did. I think I was right from the beginning. And holy shit, am I proud of myself not to have folded on anything. I said, you want me to delete the first video? I'll delete the first video. I'll make a second video with the points that you prefer. But I never said that the content of the first video was false. And I said, in fact, it's probably true. It's probably true. Go Away says, wood stove, easy on the anti-Semitism, JF. Sorry, this was not meant as anything in that line. I do not want to put anyone in the wood stove. Go Away. Thank you for explaining to me that this could be a misinterpretation of what I've said. I do not mean this at all. Blanket says, JF, you deleted the first video? Well, because the crowd of Brett came with some counters about some of the points. You know, when you do a plagiarism investigation, you're like, okay, these things resemble this thing. Explain this. They came up with explanation for some of the points. So I'm like, okay, I'll make a set. And I'm like, please explain everything. Explain, don't just explain parts of it. Because as a plagiarism researcher, I'm stuck with, well, this part still resembles this part. And what they did is they tried to get away with partial explanations. They said, oh, you're ridiculous. Look at you, you're wrong. Here we have this explanation. And it's like, okay, what about the other points? And I remember this moment on Brett Weinstein's show. I remember this moment where he said, so it turned out that I had said it before him. And then blah, 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 blah. And then he says, and then there's other points, but there's explanations for the other points too. This pinches the heart when I think about this statement. Again, there's other points, but there's explanations for these other points too. That's Brett saying, there's explanations, but I won't tell them to you. Never in my life have I been so disappointed with a human being. There's explanations, but I won't tell them to you. There's explanations for the other points. It's like I'm making a mathematics proof and I'm like, okay, so trust me on 2 plus 2 equals 4, and then trust me on 2 plus 3 equals 5. And then the idea that the logarithm, that the iterated logarithm grows as fast as the sum of the reciprocals of prime is true. Just believe me on this one, I'm not giving the proof. This is so hurtful for a mind like mine who has been trained on Euclid, who has been trained on hard science. It is so disappointing. Thomas Howard says, JF is being awfully critical of Weinstein. Is he no longer living in Canada, where anti-Semitism is strictly verboten and anti-defamation is strictly enforced? No, Thomas Howard, I still live in Canada, but the law hasn't reached the point where you can't criticize a Jew. So yes, that is it for my part about Brett Weinstein. Brett, let's get serious. Let's talk evolutionary theory. James says, I think the problem is JF would make thousands of dollars in book sales if they talked about TRP. Brett's Jewish mind can only see JF as using him as a money grab. If I understand JF correctly, his primary motive is to talk with another top biologist about his book for the pure intellectual hedonism of the moment, slash to get a proper critique of the theory. That is a beautiful description. I wouldn't even say it's for my intellectual hedonism. I think it's for the world's intellectual hedonism. Because it sucks, and it's more. It's about testing the epistemological functioning of the public space. I take this fucking seriously. I take this fucking seriously whether in 2023 we can have a scientific progress, because it won't come from the universities. The universities may develop a molecular tool here and there, but you won't have genius thinking coming from people who have been selected for their sheepishness. I don't even know if that's the word, sheepishness. So it's like, the question is, can we have someone outside of Jewish circles in 2023 come up with a revolutionary theory? And will that revolutionary theory be recognized, or will we have to wait 40 years? That's the question. And that is so important. When I talk about Elon Musk taking over Twitter, that is so important. We're talking about the state of the epistemological machine of the public space. We're talking about whether knowledge can even make it through. We're talking about whether a valid theory can even survive the noise. And yes, I take this seriously. It's much more than intellectual hedonism, James. So much more. And it's much more, of course, than book business. But that's what I find terrible, you see? That's what I find horrible with the current world, is that you have these half-thinkers publishing these half-books that create flows of money for brick-and-mortar fucking editors that suck, that are not looking for quality, that are not looking for eternity, that are not looking for validity. They're just looking at giving you the product you want to buy. This little piece of paper that you won't ever read, you won't ever give a shit about it, but you can say, oh, I have it. Isn't it a nice cover? Cloud Warmer says, Muslim JF in a different timeline. Inshallah, my brothers. I have declared a fatwa. We must remain focused on our jihad, defeating this ungodly development of the non-believers, TRP. It goes against nature, science, and all that is holy. My brothers, we must not stop until the world is cleansed of this. Yes, it's an alternate universe, but it's out there. It's not so far from ours. Cloud Warmer says, Jeff, it seems obvious to me that Brett and his cohorts only thrive in a controlled, censored environment where they have a captive audience. Again, it shows a masterpiece of hypocrisy. Why not just live stream with those who are critical of you and have the open exchange in the marketplace of ideas? Exactly. That's all we've been asking for in 2017 when we came up with Blood Sports. A marketplace of ideas, a test. That's all Brett has been asking for of Sam Harris, for fuck's sake. That's Brett wanted to speak with Sam Harris about the vaccine and exchange. Hey, I have this study. What do you think about it? That's, James, it's not just intellectual hedonism. It's that the confrontation of ideas on the public space is the ultimate test. It is the ultimate test of everything true and untrue and believed and unbelieved. Go away sends a super chat. He says, is TRP important enough as a theory that it would be preferable for someone like Brett to wait until you have been banned from the internet by Canadian authorities to then plagiarize and popularize TRP, or for TRP to remain obscure for another 250 years? No, I don't think that anyone can plagiarize TRP. And that's why, and I don't think that Brett is a malintended plagiarist. I don't think he would copy a whole theory like this. So no, I disagree with this interpretation. The revolutionary phenotype is such original thinking that as I was designing the theory and thinking about it, I was talking about it for years on YouTube without the slightest scare that I would be plagiarized, that someone would come out with it before me. Because it's one of these bizarre ideas, just out there fucking crazy stuff. It's one of these things that you don't even want to copy. And I have no impression that anyone would ever copy TRP, and it certainly won't happen after the publication of the book. This is on the record. It's out there. Jack celebrates the end of what? End of an empire. Elon Musk says fire, fire. Kim.com says nuclear fire. What is Jack referring to? End of an empire. Is it the end of the American empire in terms of NATO domination, in terms of American hegemony over the world? Is it the rise of Russia, China? Or is he talking about the fact that YouTube recently walked back on its censorship, perhaps because they're slowly having the impression that, oh, there's so many creators who are talking about uploading to Twitter, who are fully excited about Elon Musk's takeover. People are starting to shake. Whatever he's talking about, I celebrate the fire and the end of the empire. The revolutionary phenotype in 1863. In 1863, someone shared this with me, Darwin Among the Machines, to the editor of the press, Christchurch, New Zealand. Wow. This happened in Christchurch, New Zealand, the city that remained with that name until there was a shooting in it that came to be known as the Christchurch shooting. Isn't that fascinating? In Christchurch, New Zealand, on June 13, 1863, someone writes a letter being worried about the machines taking over, technology taking over. He ends his letter by saying, "Day by day, however, the machines are gaining ground upon us. Day by day, we are becoming more subservient to them. More men are daily bound down as slaves to tend them. More men are daily devoting the energies of their whole lives to the development of mechanical life. The upshot is simply a question of time, but that the time will come when the machines will hold the real supremacy over the world and its inhabitants is what no person of a truly philosophic mind can for a moment question. Our opinion is that war to the death should be instantly proclaimed against them. Every machine of every sort should be destroyed by the well-wisher of his species. Let there be no exceptions made, no quarter shown. Let us at once go back to the primeval condition of the race. If it be urged that this is impossible under the present condition of human affairs, this at once proves that the mischief is already done, that our servitude has commenced in good earnest, that we have raised a race of beings whom it is beyond our power to destroy, and that we are not only enslaved, but are absolutely acquiescent in our bondage. For the present, we shall leave this subject, which we present gratis to the members of the Philosophical Society, should they consent to avail themselves of the vast field which we have pointed out. We shall endeavor to labor in it ourselves at some future and indefinite period. A revolution against the machine. And in 1863, this guy is looking at the dependence that we're developing for machines, and he's like, there's something wrong there. There's something wrong. Beautiful. Beautiful. I was very happy to receive this link on the Discord. People shared this with me, Andrew Tate's statement to the media, to the mainstream media. It follows Andrew Tate making an interview with the BBC, and it was a long interview in which the BBC is like, with the classical attitude of, aren't you this? Aren't you misogynistic? Why do you sell young guys these ideas? And basically here Andrew Tate is saying, I will not do any further interview with the mainstream media. He's saying, if there's an interview you want to have with me, the fee is $50,000 plus a box of chocolate, because he wants the $50,000 to be given to a charity of hungry kids, because he says, I'm not losing time anymore with the mainstream media. That's all fine. I think it's fine. It's fine of Andrew Tate to do this. Anyway, the mainstream media is completely irrelevant. It's just a bunch of boomers watching these old... I mean, I have difficulty browsing to CNN and Fox News at this point. It's like boomer videos just popping out in my screen. I can't find the content anymore. So yeah, dismiss the mainstream media. They are totally dead already. Texas bans gender-affirming care for minors after governor signs bill. Texas bans gender-affirming care for minors after governor signs bill. Okay, so basically, the switches of sex will not be doable for the child. That is great. It's basically in line with what Elon Musk was requesting, basically. Did we lose a connection? I have a sign here that says... Are you guys still receiving me? I have a sign of warning. Oh, your stream quality is good. Okay, it seems that we're still live. Fascinating. Just Pearly Things has retweeted me. I was with my loving eyes, impressed, heart-shaped eyes, smiling face. Pearly Things retweeted my statement about making women look dumb is a disturbing new podcast trend. And I was saying about this, make your own podcast where women don't look dumb. You might learn something from the experience. And I said about the retweet, Pearly Things just retweeted me. I'm now 1 degree of separation away from Nick Fuentes. A dream come true. And someone was saying, of course, the joke, for those who don't get it, I mean, you guys probably get it here on the show, but the joke is that I trained Nick Fuentes. Like, I hosted Nick Fuentes on my shows before he was even big, to the point where he was DMing me after coming to my shows. He was DMing me, Jeff, appearing on your show is good business. You tell me anytime, I'll be back, because... holy shit, am I growing when I appear on your shows. So it's like, I've been 1 degree of separation away from Nick Fuentes for much longer than anyone on the public space right now. So Just Pearly Thing then engages with Ryan Dawson in the reply section. My fucking God, this woman is based. Absolutely based. Absolutely wonderful. Christopher Cantwell said Twitter apologized because he had been making a joke comment on Twitter saying, damn it, these gender freaks have the world so upside down, they are even ruining my racist jokes. But of course, you know, you can jokingly refer to your racist jokes. That doesn't mean they're racist. You may be mocking the left. And so Christopher Cantwell is now welcome back on Twitter. And as Christopher Cantwell was saying, Twitter just apologized to me. You're next, SPLC. I wouldn't hold my breath, Christopher, for an apology by the SPLC. Cloud Warmer says, JF, I want your thoughts on the following. Please, considering the U.S. Constitution... and specifically the inalienable rights contained within are imbued by God, why is it that the decisions of liars in courts can be considered to dismantle this? How is it not holding strong to interpretations of men? Well, I mean, the thing is, the whole reference to God is not it's not an objective mechanism of the Constitution. It's just a way of saying, it's a way of conceiving of America. It's a subjective way. And anyways, God cannot intervene in the real world. I mean, evidently, we don't have a hand coming from the sky and intervening. So even religious people will tell you that basically a lot falls onto the shoulders of man to be arranging the world in the way they think God would have wanted it. Even religious people will tell you that they don't expect God to come and fix situations. They consider that God has granted a kind of freedom to people, and that it's our responsibility to make the world good. I've unblocked Anglo Kuwaiti. You know this Nadia Bellucci? I had made a show about her that was saying that she sucks, that she totally misinterpreted the revolutionary phenotype. And then after I insulted her first review of my book, because her first review of my book was just wrong by evolutionary standard. And eventually I insulted her. I said she was stupid. And then she came out with a second blog post where she was calling me an evil racist. And it's like, if you are thinking all of this evil stuff about me, why didn't you say it in the first blog post? Like, suddenly she comes out after I call her stupid. Now, she wrote to me yesterday and said, can you unblock me? I realized that I was wrong. I have misinterpreted your book. I've reviewed my thoughts on this and it doesn't work. I've misinterpreted The Selfish Gene by Dawkins. And I was like, holy shit. A woman who realizes her wrongness. So I said, I've unblocked Anglo Kuwaiti because she said she made an error and misunderstood my book. And she deleted her post of insults against me. But if she's not carrying a DNA baby from me within the next year, I'm reblocking. At some point, you have to go arch on this because I'm losing my time at this point. You know, and the thing is, I unblocked her. Then she starts talking to me in DM. And she's on another line of thought that is equally wrong as the first. It's like, maybe you should give up blogging, woman. Maybe you should give up blogging. Because her first error was to think that Richard Dawkins had said that evolution was limited to vehicles. And that because computers aren't vehicles of a life form, they're not part of the vehicle, therefore they can't evolve. But that is so contrary to what Richard Dawkins said. I mean, Richard Dawkins has a whole book about how this is not how to think of it. The vehicle is not a limit. That is the subject of the extended phenotype of Richard Dawkins. So she got this wrong. Now, yesterday night, after I unblock her out of pure grace and hope to get my dick wet, perhaps an unconscious hope, very little chances, she is married. She starts saying, but how do you predict that humans will be farmed into less conscious beings? It seems to me that more conscious beings would be good for the quantum. More conscious beings would favor better societies that would care better for the quantum. And it's like, lady, you don't even realize why we have consciousness, why we have intelligence. We have intelligence because each of our agents is trying to win a competitive race against everyone else. So you have to be smarter to charm the girl. because she's going to test you in a thousand different ways before reproducing with you. That's sexual selection, sexual reproduction. Sex is the reason why we have intelligence. And if you abolish sex, then, you know, intelligence may still be useful to a quantum-based society, but you certainly don't need each agent to be intelligent. If intelligence is useful, it will go the way of ant colonies, where each of the agents does not have to be free, does not have to be super smart. They just have to follow order from a smarter entity in the bunch. And that is what happens with ant colonies. It's like, you can think of them as having collective intelligence, but take each of the sterile workers of an ant colony, and you're going to realize that they are basically machines submitted to the interest of the queen. So when you give up sexual reproduction, when you start trusting a central entity to determine your genes, you lose a lot of things that you had taken for granted. Was this the most dangerous children's toy ever? In the 50s, you could buy your kid radioactive samples for fun. The Atomic Energy Lab, Gilbert's Nuclear Physics. They were giving you sample for $49.50. You had samples of uranium, they say. Uranium-238. Autunite, torbenite, uraninite, and carnotite, all of this for $49, and you could play with whatever detectors and scientific material that was coming with it. Spindly Opinion says, health and safety has gone mad. Yes, we went the other way as a society. Cloud Warmer says, JF, I wanted to ask you, how does an inherited disease or condition skip a generation? I've got a problem with my eyesight, specifically with certain colors, which I was told by specialists came from my grandfather. It skipped my mother, it skips my daughters, but if they have sons, they will have it. Yeah, this is a very well-known case of male-associated color blindness. The reason it skips the female generations is that females, what is the characteristic of a female? A female has XX chromosomes at birth, assigned at birth by nature, and... I can't even take the time to explain the joke. So a female has XX chromosomes. Therefore, she doesn't have a Y chromosome. And the disease that you're talking about is associated with the Y chromosome. If the Y chromosome isn't there, you can't suffer from the disease. I think that's the explanation for this one. It's been a while, though, that I've read about it. Silver Spider says, hey, Jeff, my wife is gluten intolerant and I love gluten. What is the chance my son will be gluten intolerant? I have no idea about this one. Gluten intolerance, chances of genetic transmission. I had a cousin who had this, celiac disease. The children of someone with celiac disease have 4 to 15% chance of developing the disorder. Parents, siblings, or children of people with celiac disease have between a 4 and 15% chance of developing the disorder. However, the inheritance pattern is unknown. That's available at MedlinePlus.gov. So yeah, the answer is between 4 and 15%. Cloud Warmer says, JF, if my grandsons are trans, will this visual condition skip them? uh, It depends what you means by what you mean by grandson. Do you mean grandson with penises or grandsons with vaginas? What do you mean? What do you mean? Stephen Robinson was sharing this with me. Artificial intelligence and science, a reasoned analysis. Stick, sex, and hammer. I mean, there's not much to say because he's loosely speaking in this video. But Stephen, I believe people were trying to tell me that this is him being too enthusiastic about AI technology, and he has to be aware of the dangers of AI mixed in with genetic modifications. Yes, I would hope that Styx read The Revolutionary Phenotype and understands what we're talking about. We're talking about an existential threat. But it's not like he says anything specific in this video against The Revolutionary Phenotype. Rather, it seems that he's just not informed about The Revolutionary Phenotype. And he's kind of enthusiastically considering the advances of AI and says it won't be stoppable. I don't know. I don't know that we're headed, you know, into a fully AI-based society that much. This whole enthusiasm with which the technophiles, let's use a term from Uncle Ted here, the enthusiasm with which the technophiles look at any sort of advancement and say, oh my God, this is the next big thing, is kind of annoying and many times misinformed. I'll give you an example. If you asked, there was a certain moment at which people were convinced that the telephone going video was going to be the big thing. It's like, oh yeah, we're going to see each other. The fact is, we came to be able to see each other on the phone, but we don't give a shit. In fact, we gave up the idea of phone calls to the preference of written forms of communication like email and text. So sometimes the technophile is looking in the wrong direction. Sometimes the technophile is making the equation, well, if new things have been showing up in the past, then any new thing that will show up will be adhered to with enthusiasm. And it's not always like that. What else do we have before we close the show? Boycott reveal racketeering scam behind corporations that go woke. James Lindsay, authored by Bill Pan and Joshua Philip via the Epoch Times. It's a text about how there are specialist corporations that go to other corporations and they basically shake them down. They're like, you should do some woke stuff. You're going to be in trouble. And that would be the story of how they pressured Bud Light into going woke. It sucks. Cloud Warmer says, JF is a libertarian or minarchist, night watchman society possible without a level of IQ and self-agency. Is it even possible considering the situation with normies? Is it a matter of waiting enough generations or needing to create an independent society elsewhere with strong immigration controls? I have been stating before that I don't believe it is possible for an existing society to become libertarian. An existing society without a major shock to it. A major shock that basically is equivalent to most people dying for some reason or something very dramatic happening to the society. Simply because I believe that societies, once they are populous, you actually evolve in the opposite direction. You evolve in the parasitism of the human environment around you. Um, So I don't believe that there is any solution of converting an existing society into a libertarian one. What I believe is that something analogous to what happened with the flight toward America must happen for an increase of liberty of any kind to even happen, let alone reaching a libertarian state. But for liberty to kind of increase, you need flight and repopulation of a relatively lowly populated or unpopulated or genocided area. Because to me, the mechanism of self-selection is always favoring the normie and the social person in the populated area. So the only mechanism you have to weed out the freedom-loving people is that they have to flee the normies. So that's why you had America kind of rising as a new force of liberty. If you want to recreate these circumstances, America needs to be overpopulated and we need to be running elsewhere, like Antarctica or something like this. That is it for tonight. I don't think... well, Chuck Todd is taking his retirement. Chuck Todd from NBC. Not a big fan. Not a big fan. Oh, and apparently the cities are starting to have problems, which is, you know how they rent their bikes and it's like community bike, communism bike. Well, the problem is at some point the bike stops because your payment, you know, reserves them for like 28 minutes. And look at what happens once your payment goes off. Boom. Just sudden stop of the bike. I don't know if it's true. I don't know if people are just trolling on social media or if it's really true that this was a city bike. That just, the payment was done, you had paid for 28 minutes, you get 28 minutes. I find this hilarious. Bye-bye, everyone.